Well, instead of 12 minutes, I was given 15. So we'll hope we can stick to that. Well, welcome to Cedar Creek Community Church. It's good to see you guys here this morning. Today is our second and final State of the Church. We couldn't quite stretch it to 3 weeks. We're going to try to keep it to two. Every year, maybe we'll get a week longer. Now, we do this mini-series every year. It's kind of like we do the State of the Union. The president does that. We do the State of the Church. We talk about the things that we did last year, and we talk a little bit about the things that are coming up this year and talk about some highlights of what's happened. So today what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be looking at some ministry highlights, pointing at some of the bigger ministries of our church, updates I've gotten from some of you, making sure everybody knows what's going on, and then also pointing you to them so that if you want to volunteer, if you want to be a part of those organizations or those ministries of this church, you know who to go talk to and what that can look like. And Mark then is going to come up and give us some updates on the missionaries that we support both locally, regionally, and internationally. So I'm excited to hear some of those or some fun videos from Gary and others. But before we dive in, let's pray and we'll commit our morning to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we are so grateful that we are your church, that we are the bride of Christ. We are so grateful that we are a tool in your hand to be used for the advancement of the gospel, to be used in this community, to be a light in the darkness, to be a light in the darkness of both Eau Claire and the surrounding region in this world. And so we pray, Lord, that as we seek to honor you and obey you and follow your standards in the scripture, that you would use us as a mighty tool in your hand here in our small little area in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So God, we pray that we would be a tool in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning, I want to start off reading a passage. And so I'm going to open up to Hebrews 10. And we're going to read verses 19 through 26. It's a little bit longer of a passage, but I think it relates to what we're talking about this morning. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 26, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So as a church, we gather around Christ, about what he has accomplished, about the things that are listed here in Hebrews 10. And so as a church, we preach repentance. We preach relinquishing ourselves and our sins to God, laying them at his feet, putting our hope in the finished work of the cross of Christ, and then rising up as men and women of God with a new vision, with a new purpose, with a new mission in life, and that is to serve our Heavenly Father, live for God's glory in every way we can, in and through and for him. That is what we are about at Cedar Creek. That is what the church global is about, lifting up our King. So in this passage, we read that because of what Christ has accomplished for us, we can approach him in newness of life. We can do so because we're washed clean of our sins, and therefore we can do so with assurance, assurance that we stand before our King. That gospel is our song. It is our battle cry. It is the truth that we are proclaiming to the world around us. But at the end of this passage, in verse 24 and 25, God tells us something. He says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." In order for us to stir each other up, in order for us to challenge each other, to seek to outdo one another in showing honor, we need to do it together. We need to gather as a people. We need to serve alongside each other. We can't just be a body of Christ on Sunday mornings with a passing conversation here and there. We have to come alongside each other and do it together. In fact, Solomon gives us a warning in Proverbs chapter 18. He says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." We as a Christian people cannot isolate. We cannot hide ourselves from each other because that isolation will destroy ourselves. It destroys a person. We need each other. We must live in community. We need to do this on Sunday mornings, of course, but in our everyday lives. And so at Cedar Creek, what we do is we try to fulfill that vision of living together, doing things together, more than just on a Sunday morning. And we have various ministries here at Cedar Creek that you can be a part of where we serve alongside each other, we challenge each other, we encourage each other, and we lift up the cross of Christ to the world around us. And so that's what we're going to talk about, those ministries that you are already involved with or could become involved with this morning. And so the first one I want to highlight for us today is probably the deepest coordinated fellowship that we offer and we administer as a church team here, and that's our life groups. Our life groups are one of the best attended ministries at Cedar Creek, and I am very proud to say that I sat next to a pastor yesterday who was talking about how he has 70 adults and he can't get any of them to come to really anything. He has one small Bible study of like 5 people in his whole congregation. And so we have life groups, one of the best attended ministries here at Cedar Creek, and these are smaller groups of people, you guys, who gather together weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, sometimes taking the summer off, sometimes meeting even more than that, but it's a group of people in the church who are seeking to get to know each other better, grow in fellowship, and pursue God, challenge each other to obey the standards in scriptures, study the scriptures together, pray together, and be together. And so it's a complete fulfillment of what we were just talking about in Hebrews 10:25. Do not neglect meeting together, not just Sunday mornings, but in your everyday lives. And if you aren't connected with a life group, you can go talk to Pastor Mark, who's going to be up here later, and he can help you get connected. And if you're interested in participating in one or even leading one, you can talk to him, and we can hopefully move you in that direction. Now, currently, to give some nuts and bolts to this, I said it's one of our best attended ministries. We have 7 life groups, which maybe doesn't sound that impressive, but 70 adults attend those groups. I think my life group alone has almost 40 children. We have 9 families with a lot of kids. And so that means about 2/3 of our adult attendance on a Sunday morning is attending one of these life groups. And that is just incredible. And now it's a great participation percentage, but that means there's 1/3 of us who are not involved. And I think as Christians, we want to pursue excellence. We want to pursue obedience to Hebrews 10:25. So if you're not involved with one of those, please talk to Mark and we'll do our best to get you plugged in or hopefully maybe start another life group or two. Now, the second highest probably attended ministry of our church is actually our Awana ministry. Ryan and Nikki Rudak lead this on Wednesday nights. Ryan leads and Nikki administrates the program, and they do so faithfully, and they have been doing so for 10 years already. The leaders who are involved in this, there are about 18 adults who are leading it, and they've been serving in the Awana program for anywhere from 1 to 10 years since we started. Now, the average attendance of, or the average lifespan of those leaders, most of those leaders have been serving, on average, 6 or more years. So that means that the people who are here are very dedicated to making this happen. So well done to all of you who are serving. There are 61 kids who attend this program on any given Wednesday night, and 1/3 of them aren't from our church. So that means about 1/3 of these people are either from another church or they're unchurched altogether. And so they're getting presented with the gospel. They're getting presented with biblical truth and standards. And that is just excellent. We are also the only Awana program in the area that offers a high school program. So that is something that is really exciting because it is really hard to keep people in things like this at that age. So wonderful job to all of you guys. They have a lot of other things that go on. They do outreach events like Operation Christmas Child. They do baby bottle fundraising like we're doing right now as a church. They occasionally go to the local college campus and they evangelize. So they're getting training in how to witness to the gospel to college kids. Awana is an excellent program. And so if you guys have any kids yourselves, ages 4 to high school, or you have family that could get involved, I'd encourage you to plug them in with Ryan and Nikki, and they will do their best to get you guys squared away there. Another area of opportunity we have here to serve at Cedar Creek, and it's a huge part. I think most of us don't notice it because it's not present in front of us is our Sunday school and nursery programs. The only way we notice it is when somebody's banging on the wall. We have a handful of teachers serving there. We have about 50 kids, about 9 teachers teaching in Sunday school, and we have about 3 middle school, high school age helpers. And those kids are getting served by being presented with truth every Sunday. And so if you're interested in teaching Awana, you can talk to my wife, Emily. It's really not terribly tough. You get a little packet, tells you what you're teaching through, and you walk through that. And you can talk to her if you're interested. And we also have nursery, which is kids ages 6 months to 2 years. And that one I think is even easier because you sit in a chair and you read books to kids. Or you toss a ball. Or you watch them go down the slide and clap for them when they hit the bottom and go, whoa! So if you're interested in helping out on a Sunday morning with nursery, I would encourage you to go talk to Sue Gerber. We also have a youth group here that meets every other week on Sundays for about an hour. There's 20 kids meeting there in high school and middle school ages. The high school group just finished A.W. Tozer's The Knowledge of the Holy, which is a pretty solid book. The middle schoolers learned about concordances and cross-references and utilizing those when they're studying the scriptures, which is just a wonderful skill to have at that age. And they've done plenty of other things. They're headed to high school and middle school leadership training conferences. They had a camp out last summer. They just went roller skating at High Roller and brought their non-believing friends. And even a number of kids attended the Rochester mission trip last year. So that is wonderful. If you would like more information on either of those, you can talk to Paul Fila or Brad Blomberg. Another way we serve here is the Care and Compassion Team. This group of people has a women's prayer group. It meets, it's been meeting for 40 years. They've been praying over us, praying over this church, praying up that we would rise up and be a light in this community. And so praise God for them. And if you're interested, I think you can talk to Nancy Anderson about the prayer team. But the Care and Compassion Team also has a meals ministry. And now this is something you really don't see unless you're the person cooking the meal or the person receiving the meal. And last year, you guys, through this administrative effort, we're able to hand out 43 meals to families in various needs situations. And I think a significant portion of them actually went to my wife and children. I spent 31 days in the hospital, and you guys were providing them with things to eat that were more nutritious than Culver's and Little Caesars. And and then afterwards, when I came home and spent a number of weeks recovering. So thank you all to that. You guys do a wonderful work. And if you're interested in getting involved with that, you can talk to Brianna Novacek. There's also a moms group that meets at Cedar Creek and other locations regularly. It happens all year round and throughout the summer. It averages about 8 moms and whatever children they bring with. And so it's an opportunity for them to get together and be moms together and let their kids get some energy out, bring little scooters and stuff and play in the sanctuary. And so if you're interested in being a part of that or helping out, you can talk to Abby Walter. I think she might be back in nursery. We also have our annual vacation Bible school. You know, last year we had like 50 or 60 kids here. The gospel went out. We had teachers dressed up. And it was just an electric time. It is a great experience. We set the dates earlier this year so that you don't have conflicts, you know, with summer school programs or whatever it is that you might be signing up for or that family vacation that you were planning. Mark your calendars, June 22nd through the 26th. We will be having Vacation Bible School here. And if you're interested in being a teacher or in helping prepare some activities for the kids to do or even just prepare snacks, because being here for 4 or 5 hours as a bunch of little kids, they need more food, we could definitely use the help. It's a great time for us to share the gospel with the local community. And if you know any kids, feel free to send them the link when that comes. But with that, I'm nearly out of time. Pastor Mark is going to come up, and he is going to talk about the ministries or the missionaries that we support. And this is both local ministry that's happening or missionaries that are happening here in our state, in our country, and even internationally. And so it's just a joy to hear some updates. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. It's encouraging to hear about what's going on. And now we're going to turn our attention to how we extend our influence and extend our support through resources and support to others locally and, like Justin said, even internationally. When I think about that, sometimes people say, well, you know, we send this money, but really, is that how we should go about this? And I'm impressed with the precedent that Paul and John, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, spoke of this very precedent in Philippians. I know these verses, I've used these before when we've talked about missions, but I think they're so appropriate to our role in what we're going to be talking about here over the next few minutes. And in Philippians, Paul writes to this church, he says, and he's thanking them for supporting him, providing for his needs. He said, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." He's commending these folks for providing for his physical needs. He was out extending himself all over the world at that time, and they were helping him do that by providing for his needs. And then in 3 John, the Apostle John is writing to his friend Gaius, his dear friend, he says, commending him, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers." So he was helping out some other Christians who were extending themselves in various places. He says, "Strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." And with these missions that we're going to talk about, we are fellow workers for the truth. And beginning about 4 years ago, I believe, we had some changes in our relationship with a national organization and a regional organization. We used to send a larger portion of our contributions, and they selected at a regional level missionaries to support. And starting about 4 years ago, we took that on ourselves, and we invited a group, a mission committee, to vet different organizations and make a recommendation who we ought to support. And so then each year they go through that process. And so I'm going to start with as local as we go and then work our way out, okay? And there's, I think if I counted right, there's 10 different organizations that we support in some way on a monthly basis. And starting out is just down the road in Meridine. Has anybody been to Meridine? It's a big place. Not really. There's a place called the Red House of Hope. And they provide mentorship, guidance, resources to folks who need hope due to mental health issues, addiction challenges, things that have left them feeling hopeless. And they, on their website, it indicates they stand on Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with the hope of the power." We've just started supporting them this year, and they're a newer organization in our area. And so that's the Red House of Hope. And then another new organization, Safe Families in the Chippewa Valley. Safe Families is for want of a better word, is a franchise. That's Safe Families in Wisconsin. There's a number of these organizations in different local areas. And there's a number of individuals from various churches that are intent on getting this established here. And it essentially rallies volunteer families, individuals, to come alongside families that are in crisis, families that are on the edge, so to speak, and need some support to stay connected, stay healthy. And the way one person put it, it's kind of something to intervene before it gets to the foster system, before children are maybe can't stay at home because mom and dad got to work and got to take care of kids, It's not, they need a temporary help. And so Safe Families is working at that, and they are in the process of building support, building a team. They hope to have a full-time director, hopefully in 2026. And so they are, as it says there, they're 50% funded. So we're supporting them each month in that effort. And so it's, like I said, they try to meet needs before it escalates, before it gets out of hand, before it gets too far along. And it's interesting, some of the information they sent us as far as an update, they work with the organizations, the county and city human services organizations, and their effort is endorsed by the director. I have a letter from the director of the county health department, human services, not health department, human services department, endorsing their efforts in this organization. So they work hand in hand with the county organizations, and that's really helpful. Then we also this year are supporting a couple that are I believe they're staff interns with Crew on the college campuses in our area. Oh, we don't want to see him. You have to look at him in person and on the screen. Luke and Kenzie Allison, they serve at UW-Eau Claire, Stout, River Falls, and some of the community colleges in the area. And they are recently married and are on in an intern basis with Crew, and we're helping support them on a monthly basis as they work with students on those campuses. Reaching out a little farther, Western Wisconsin, More Rejoicing Ministries, a gentleman by the name of Travis Barton, has a kind of a twofold ministry. He and his wife, they have planted a church initially in Cumberland. They reach out to immigrant workers. Many of the agricultural workers are immigrants in this in much of Wisconsin. So they've started a Spanish service in Cumberland. I just talked to Sarah Spencer, and they are not currently meeting for fear of gathering right now with the deportations and all, but they are attempting to meet in some homes, but they're carrying on their ministry to those folks. And then the second arm of their ministry is Travis reaches out south of the Mexican border. He works specifically with men who are in the drug trade there, in the cartels. I think it was last year we heard a story about some of the adventures there, but that's a challenging place to reach out. And he's reaching out, I was going to say fearlessly, but he shared in a letter recently that he was down at this site where he goes and meets and ministers to these men, and there was a woman they had met, and she was recently widowed. She's 72 years old, and she was afraid, but she wanted to come with him to this location where he's reaching out, and he was wanting to preach to these men as they were gathered, but it was kind of noisy and crazy, and this 72-year-old woman finally said, "Here, I'll get their attention." And she stood up and started clapping and yelling and told them all to be quiet and listen to Travis. And so then he preached. So he's got an adventuresome mission there. And we've been supporting him for a number of years in their efforts on those two fronts. And then reaching a little farther out, Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island. We've been supporting initially, Jacob Van Sickle, he's the gentleman on the left. He took a team out there a number of years ago. It's been 4 or 5 years, probably 2022, I think it was, they first started. And they're planting a church in Providence. And they're working. Providence is the home to several colleges, several campuses. And so we've been helping them. They now have three pastors. There's Alex there in the middle and Andrew on the right. And they've had a, they would say 2025 was a year of growth and prayer. Growth, they've seen quite a lot of growth. Number-wise, they've been reaching out on these college campuses and in their community aggressively. They start what they call city groups. It sounds like a little bit bigger than life groups, maybe like home churches, but they also gather as a complete church on the weekends. I think that next slide is a graph, is it not? You got to show me? Oh! I just have to show up every so often, yeah. This is their quarterly church attendance, starting in with 35 people in 2022. And that's quarter two 2025. And he said in his update that the graph going up the next two quarters, he says he needs a longer y-axis. So it's continuing to grow. They've started a couple new city groups, one on of teens. I think there's a picture of the teens here. This is their teen city group. And also on the University of Brown University is very close to their location. And it's a place of primary outreach there on the campus of Brown. And that comes to the, it says it's been a week, a year of prayer. December 13th, there was a shooting incident at Brown University. And that kind of shocked them. I think they said it's four or five blocks from their meeting place. It kind of rocked their world, and they prayed. They said, we can't storm the campus. We can't go stop the craziness, but they prayed. And they have been praying. The two individuals that were that died in the shooting. One, name was Ella. She had attended their church a couple times. People were acquainted with her. And the other victim also, Mohammed, some had shared the good news with him. And so it's been kind of a sobering end of the year for them. And so we want to continue to lift them up in prayer as well as our monthly support. Jacob puts out they have a very informative website and puts out a good a newsletter that you can receive if you would choose. In fact, I made a QR code. Two of them. Thank you, Joshua. Out on the bulletin board, we have a mission bulletin board out there. There's two QR codes, one for Sacred City Church and one for this one of the other missions. If you want to get to their website and sign up for newsletters, and it's a great way to stay connected. Okay, the next mission is Great Commission Latin America and Dominican Republic. This is a mission that we've been affiliated with for years. Dagoberto was in Honduras and had to leave there because of threats against his family and his life. They are now in the Dominican, and they have a multifaceted outreach in the community, going from building homes in a difficult area of town, in medical clinics, children's programs, and so have a video here that will picture those a little more clearly than I can speak. All right, lots going on in Santo Domingo, and I failed to mention we have sent mission teams both to the Sacred City Church in Rhode Island and also to Dominican Republic. And I believe the children that they mentioned, they have a, I believe it's an after-school program
that they provide in there in that community, in the support at the children's hospital. I know last time when you were down there, a big part of their work that week was bringing gift or bags of needed items to the patients and families. So, so that's Great Commission Latin America. And let's see, Mexico, Feed My Lambs. Gary Sandman and Minnie. Gary's been here, spoken a number of times here at Cedar Creek. I couldn't find a newer picture. I think this is a little bit dated. This is Gary, Minnie, and Sophia. And they also have a two-part ministry there. They have a ministry center where they hold camps, church retreats, all kinds of things in this venue. And they also have a children's home further south in Mexico. This is where the Spencer family was not so long ago to help with some of their construction. And we do have a couple of videos. What's the next slide, Luke? Do you have... Yeah, the ministry center and the children's home. And Gary sent a couple of videos, and he's really focused on the construction because they've been updating their ministry center for some time, and they're close to the completion of it all. And so you'll see this in the video, and eventually we get to see Gary's face, and he can give us a greeting.
So I wanted to bring you guys down to the cabins area too, because the Spence and the family, the Spencer Family Mission, they spend a lot of time down in this area, and especially some of the maintenance things that needed to be done. And I wanted to show the roof. Our main cabin needed to be have shingles put on it, have new shingles put on it, be reshingled, and Spence and the kids took that on, and it was just an awesome thing to see them work. My blood pressure was a little rose a little bit seeing Ferdy on the roof, but the kids did a great job pounding nails and pulling nails for our forms and different things we had during the week. But they did the railing, they redid the railing, and they redid the roof, and they also did some other a lot of different maintenance things that I needed done, but I don't have time to do them. And so it was such a great blessing to have these things done and looking so sharp. It's such a beautiful spot down here that we have for people to come and stay, and but we need to keep it maintained. And we just thank you. Thank you so much for the mission that you guys sent, and for supporting the Spencer family and the mission, and for supporting us in our ministry. And we love you, and we thank you. We thank God for you. And so... I'll send later, like I said, I'll send another video updating the work up there as the crane continues to work. But I wanted to show you some of these details down here. The Spencer family, we had a lot of high work over their mission, and I can think of Maya up on the scaffolding with a 16-pound drill and different things that made me more nervous than they were. But they did a fantastic job, and it was a great mission. That was great. That went very well. 10,000 pounds of steel just went into the air. And we just so thankful how it looks. There's the lines of sight for our new outdoor multi-use area. And it just turned out just fantastic. Those trusses, those big trusses. And there's our new sanctuary. We ask for prayer over the next couple months. Are so vital for us. We have, let me turn you around here. We have, well, there's going to be over 50 people, different people working, coming to do work and projects and help us. And we got all that cement, all the flooring to pour in right in front of us. We're hoping to be done in the next month. We hope to get all that entrance done and all that floor, because we're having camp. Coming in within 2 months, we'll be having kids camp here, and we would love to have all that flooring done, which is the plan. And we're also pouring the roof of the new sanctuary. It's all set. We've got we'll be We'll be forming up, finishing the forms work that needs to be done for that over the next week or so. And we hope to pour the roof that's going over the top of this. Let me, well, I might as well just run you over there quick, show you what's been happening there. Because all that steel got welded together. All that support for our roof over the new sanctuary is now done. And so there is some prep work to do before we pour the cement floor over the top of this, which will be the terrace that overlooks all of that. That'll overlook the play area here on the terrace, and then of course all the mountains all around, and then the field over here as well. So we're advancing quickly, and of course we do ask for prayer. We need provision to keep everybody moving and everybody working and keep advancing, and prayer for the workers and what they're all the different workers that are coming here to help us build this place, and for safety. This is dangerous work, and that's why today is such a big deal. 10,000 pounds of steel in the air. And nobody injured. Everything went well, but we don't take a moment for that for granted. And so just prepare for protection, provision, and that we're going to see why we're building this very soon, as people are going to be coming. People are going to be congregating under this awesome new in this awesome new sanctuary, and under this amazing roof overlooking the mountains. Oh, that's around us. What God did is amazing. So God bless you. Thank you for all the support. We love you, and let's keep going.
All right. Yeah, so that's Feed My Lambs International. Great work. They have some excellent Gary puts out a great newsletter. If you want to get at that, the QR code is on the wallet. There's one picture. I got to show you a picture of Gary. He said he was visiting a children's home, not the one they're affiliated with, but another one. And the kids had just killed a rattlesnake that was on the threshold of the children's home. And Gary admitted, he said, "I really don't like snakes." But they wanted him to hold the skin, and that's the rattlesnake skin there Gary's holding. I thought it was a big fish at first, but it's a rattlesnake skin. We won't have rattlesnakes in Eau Claire. I don't know. Too cold. All right. A couple of more missions. Run Global. That's an evangelistic mission, India, Tibet, Nepal. Mike and Sue Cater reaching out, raising up leaders and evangelists, sharing the gospel, training new Christians. We've been supporting them for a number of years. They face many challenges. I think those countries are not all eager to have Christian outreach going on in them, and so they work around some of the logistics, et cetera. So that's Run Global. And then finally, we support Amy with Pioneer Bible Translators, working in the Middle East with a language that does not have a translated Bible. She's doing the meticulous work of finding native speakers to help her learn the language and be able to translate scripture into their language. I think Steve and Sandy were just there to visit, so if you want to get the first-hand or second-hand account, certainly run Sandy down or find Steve, and I'm sure they'll be glad to fill you in. You can pray if there's some visa issues with people on our team where they're having to leave the country. And Amy's waiting for her work visa as well. So we have been supporting her since she began her work there three years ago. Yeah. And then... So that's the places we support. Hopefully that's encouraging. I'm so glad that we're able to have resources to share with these folks that are doing this good work. And before I call, I'm going to call Lisa and Naomi up in just a sec, but we have people coming and going frequently. Don Breedle, I just wanted to mention, Don is in the Dominican Republic now. He's working with Casas por Cristo,
He goes frequently and helps build houses, and he's down there building a house starting tomorrow, and he's got a real heart for that and the ability to do that, and we want to support him. He's there. Don and Sarah's son Ben and a friend of Ben's are with them, as well as their grandson Jacob. So that's a blessing. And Lisa and Naomi would like to share about an upcoming adventure they're embarking on.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, church. Naomi and I are headed to Spain March 17th through the 25th this year. And I'll just give you just a quick background of why and kind of how we're going there, and Naomi's going to tell you some of the things that we're going to do. So you might remember, and Mark mentioned, that we went to Rochester last summer, some of us did here from Cedar Creek, to work alongside the Living Hope Church, another church in our region, and doing some outreach there. While my girls and I were there for the day, one connection that the Lord made was, so Pastor Charlie Meyer of Living Hope Church has had a long relationship with another Latin American church, similar to how we've had a relationship with Dago in the Dominican and Honduras. And he has a relationship, and they've gone several times, he and his family, and some short-term trips to Venezuela with Pastor Enzo. Due to a lot of just different challenging circumstances in Latin America, you're probably aware that not everyone is staying in their home countries. And Enzo is one of those pastors who he left a few years ago. He left Venezuela, and the Lord has called him to start a church in Spain. So he left. Actually, the city has the same name, Valencia, Venezuela, and he went to Valencia, España, to start this little church. And so about 2 years ago, they started the church, and just recently, within the last year, they've started meeting at a building. They have their own space, and I was able to talk a little bit with Enzo's two daughters who were visiting with the pastor in Rochester, who were visiting with Pastor, and got connected with them a little bit. Naomi and I both speak Spanish. We both studied Spanish in college. Some of you know I teach Spanish here in town, and the Lord just provided this opportunity in that moment for us to connect and get a chance to step out and serve him and go to Valencia for that 9 days. So we're going to head there. And Naomi will tell you a little bit about what we're going to do while we're there.
Yeah. So we're going to head over. We're going to get to know this growing church in Valencia, Spain now, and encourage them. And then we're going to be involved in evangelism efforts to colleges, schools, and maybe other public places. We might be doing an event at the church to talk about creation, talk about the gospel and things like that. And just help to establish their ministry there. So we're going to be there. We're going to be encouraging them. We're going to be establishing our own friendships with them over there, and then helping to tell the good news in that area in Valencia. So it should be really good.
Yeah. Thanks. So we invite you to partner with us definitely in prayer for our travel. Our tickets are booked, so we're headed there. But also Naomi and I are both moms, and we're leaving our families for an extended time. That's maybe one of the biggest step outs, and I'll be gone for my classroom. Lots of details about things that God is going to sustain here, so if you could pray for all that. Also for the church that we're going to in Valencia, it is a number of immigrants. They do have some Spaniards that attend church as well, but a number of the families who we'll be staying with and getting to know are immigrants, and just for unity in the church, and also just for a deep sense of belonging together, even as they they are far from their earthly homes, and that we could just encourage them about the hope that, of course, we have in our heavenly home together. And so also we both need to continue to raise. We each need about $400 more for our in-country costs in Spain for travel and for lodging. These immigrants are graciously hosting us just in their homes while we are there, but we want to make sure that we come prepared to cover all those expenses. So if you are interested in also giving financially, it's being organized through Living Hope Church, so that's where the checks need to be made out to, and Naomi and I could collect those. Again, we both need about $400 left to cover the cost for our trip, and we each have some letters with some information. If you're interested, be sure to come and talk to us, because we'd love to have you kind of join us in that effort that way, and we do need those by the end of this month, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider that, and by February 22nd, let us know if you'd like to partner with that, and we're really excited to go and to share the gospel.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm just impressed how God uses our gifts and talents, abilities that we each have. We don't all have the same ones. And I'm just encouraged the faith that Naomi and Lisa are showing as they step out with this. So, well, that's our state of our ministries and missions, and I am so grateful again that we have a church that wants to support and resource some of these efforts. So, pray with me as we close. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have entrusted resources to us and connections, and you lead us, and we have the privilege of being fellow workers with many. And we pray your blessing on all those we've talked about today, Gary and Jacob and Travis and Amy and Sue and Mike Cater and all those that are serving you courageously. God, I pray that you'd give us courage to reach out, courage to use our gifts where you put us, where you'd send us. Help us to listen and follow you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the blessing of walking this life of faith together. We ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.